Paranormal Perception is made possible with support from Unearthing the Supernatural. Watch this team of Navajo brothers as they investigate the paranormal using traditional ceremonies and the spiritual language combined with modern technology. Go to youtube.com/unearthingthesupernatural. They are one of many, one story of thousands. Let them hear yours. Orange County Paracon is our own live event and also the first ever paranormal conference in Anaheim, California. Tickets are on sale now. You can buy them and find out more at ocparacon.com. Paranormal Perception isn't just about our experiences or evidence of the other side. You'll also hear discussions about UAPs, crypto creatures and cryptocurrencies, glitches in the Matrix, prophecies, and how they're coming true in front of our very eyes. And everything else, well, paranormal. You may agree with some of the things Henry says. You'll disagree with him as well. All we ask is the same thing you ask investigators to give to ghosts. Respect. Agree or disagree, you're about to get a new perception of the paranormal. A paranormal perception. It is later than you think. Welcome to Paranormal Perception.
I'm in here.
This is the show where you'll hear about brushes with restless spirits,
battles with dark entities,
sightings of the unexplained,
glitches in the Matrix, creatures from different cultures, warnings about our transhumanist future.
I'm watching you.
Do we have answers? Yes. And so do you.
I'm watching you.
You know it. You feel it. Your feelings are correct.
I'm gonna get you.
Now, let's get a new paranormal perception with Henry San Miguel. And that's me. Welcome to Paranormal Perception. Hope you've all had a great week. So speaking about Orange County Paracon, OC Paracon, let me start the show with this announcement. OC Paracon is now a joint event being organized by, of course, Paranormal Perception. It was ours. But also Unearthing the Supernatural. The guys and I here on Sean Claim, they were here last week, as I told you, for Pacific Coast Paracon. And they spent some time here in the studio with me. And we were talking afterwards. And we said, you know, you guys do so much with me. You become an integral part of Paranormal Perception. Let's make this our event. Our meaning Paranormal Perception and Unearthing the Supernatural. So you're going to start seeing that reflected in the logos and all the marketing that you see coming, and you're going to see a lot of it coming from for OC Paracon. It is now an Unearthing the Supernatural and Paranormal Perception event, Orange County Paracon. So not only will you hear them speaking there, here and Sean Klein will also be, like me, your hosts for that weekend. And tickets, they're still available. We have both. We have the general admission, the two-day general admission, single day. We also have limited to 10. Actually, 9. Somebody bought one. Limited to 9 two-day VIP tickets. Sponsorships are still available also, so if you want to sponsor OC Paracon, I will say probably, if not by this weekend, definitely by Monday, I'll make the announcement everywhere. We're about to, I think we have one or two spots left over for vendor tables. So if you're a vendor and you want to sell your spooky products during OC Paracon in October, go to ocparacon.com and you can get your table right there. But tickets, sponsorship spots, those are all there. You can find out more. If you're just hearing about OC Paracon now, you can go to the website, ocparacon.com, and find out more there. Or you can wait, because on June 21st, you're going to hear me. You're going to hear me talk about OC Paracon with Peter Orbea, who's also going to be at OC Paracon. I'm going to be on WTKDB at 8 p.m. Pacific time. Then on the Afterlife Chronicles with Nicole Strickland, that'll be later that week on June 23rd at 6 p.m. Pacific. Those are both live shows, video shows. You guys have seen me on Pete's show before. I'm going to send out links so you all can watch it and more importantly, call in and ask questions and have a fun time. But it's going to start with those two. You're going to start seeing me, hearing me on a lot of TV shows and other podcasts and radio talking about OC Paracon. I mean, can you tell OC Paracon is coming? I've only mentioned it like 5 times since we started the show. So the other thing also is today and next week, they're going to be brand new, normal, new episodes. The last week in June and into the 4th of July weekend, I'm gonna take a little bit of break. Well, break from the shows. I'm just tired. And I'm also going to start doing a lot more OC Paracom promotion. So break from the show. However, I'm going to play replays. Well, maybe replays, maybe just generic shows that we haven't recorded yet. We haven't decided yet, honestly. But it may be replays of shows from way back earlier in season 1 or 2, maybe shows that not all of you have listened to. Those of you that have been here from year 1, there'll be repeats for you. But everybody else, all the new listeners, here's a chance for you to catch up on the earlier shows. So I'll replay a couple of those as I take a break. This episode today is going to be a little bit like the last couple weeks, where it's not really a guest, it's just us talking. Only this time, there's no us, just me. It's just me talking. The guys won't be here, and Sean Clan are not going to be here, but there is an us, and that us is the guest that I have on today. I actually discovered this podcast, when was it? I think at the beginning of this year, somewhere around there. It's called What If They're Wrong? whatifpod.com. That's the website. I have a link in the show description, but it's called What If They're Wrong? What is it about? Well, everything, really. Very similar to Paranormal Perception. Yeah, obviously I talk about ghosts and things like that, but I also talk about, and you remember, I talked about the pandemic, the response to the pandemic. We talk about prophecies, UFOs, anything and everything that is weird, unexplained, cryptocurrencies, cryptozoology, anything that's weird, that's also covered on What If They're Wrong. The host is Jeremiah, and he's on this week's episode because we're going to talk a little. You get to know him a little bit. Those of you that listen and are over here from the show, you're going to get to learn a little bit more about him. And then we're going to talk about some of the topics that he covers, because he did an episode not too long ago called Conspiracy Mashups. Now, I know a lot of you guys roll your eyes, oh, conspiracies again. No, not, you know what I consider conspiracies. I don't call them theories. I call them conspiracy revelations, because unless your head is in the sand, and there's a lot of you, unless your head is in the sand, you know that a lot of these conspiracy, quote unquote, theories have become fact. They're happening right before our very eyes. So that's what the show covers, and we'll get into some of those towards the end of the episode. But first, like I said, let me welcome Jeremiah. Jeremiah, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going? Thank you for having me on. Honored to be here.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on. So let me start with, I mean, first of all, was that an accurate description that your podcast covers kind of like this one, pretty much anything and everything weird, unexplained? Is that an accurate description?
Yeah, I term my podcast it's Fringe Podcast. So I cover aliens, Bigfoot, UFOs, ghosts, hauntings. I did an episode on tarot cards and astrology and just anything that is considered fringe or, like, you know, not, I guess, mainstream accepted. So anything that makes you wonder and think. And my podcast motto is question everything. So what I present, I give people a platform to talk about their experiences or their research, and then it's up to the listener to decide what they want to believe or take from it. I'm not trying to preach anything. It's just presenting information, and you can take what you want from it. But there's a lot of good information, a lot of good knowledgeable guests, and yeah, that's pretty much the show.
Yeah, and you guys do a great job with that. You, in particular, as the host, because, like I said, when I found you, I think it was, I'm gonna say February, because it was shortly after I had caught COVID. Most of my family, everybody in my family here in my house, we caught COVID. I got the worst of it. I talked about it on the air before, And as I was recovering from COVID, I was listening to a lot of different podcasts. That's when I found yours. And you do a great job, like you just said, presenting the info. You don't tell people what to think. You do present things so that they can figure out how to think. And I know that's hard today. Not too many people can think for themselves anymore, unfortunately. But you definitely do a great job presenting, not only you, but also the guests that you have on. So let me have you start talking like this. As you know, it could happen, and it does happen to all of us. We want to post something, or we make a post on our social media. We end up seeing somebody else's post, and that takes us down that rabbit hole that, 5 hours later, we realize, oh, I have a life to live. I got to get off this thing. But for you, what was it that started this trip down that rabbit hole for the weird and for the strange stories that aren't covered in mainstream media? What started that journey for you?
So I've always been into, like, specifically, like, aliens and UFOs. I remember watching, like, Unsolved Mysteries and X-Files and all that kind of stuff. And so I've always had a, interest in that type of stuff. And then fast forward to about 2008, 2009, I had a near-death experience. And it kind of like changed my thinking and my outlook on life and stuff like that. So I started questioning things and questioning life and started listening to various people like Coast to Coast AM. I listened to David Icke. I listened to Graham Hancock and just a whole bunch of different people, like just trying to figure out like what the heck is going on? Why am I here? What's the purpose of everything? Is there more to this life and what's going on than what we're being presented? And then, about 2010, I really started going down the rabbit hole, so to speak, and getting into like conspiracies, like false flags and 9/11 stuff. I remember when 9/11 happened, I was kind of like, I didn't really buy what they were telling us. And then especially when they said that they took Osama bin Laden and just dropped him in the ocean, in the middle of the ocean. And I was like, wait, that doesn't make any sense. But I didn't really get into anything until, a little bit later on, when I started questioning reality. And so then I started getting into all that stuff. And then eventually I was like, you know what? I know a lot of information, but I'm not like an expert or anything. So why don't I start a podcast and try to present that stuff? And then I was like, well, I need to start interviewing people who are a little bit more knowledgeable than me. So then I started reaching out to various people and trying to get them on, and was able to land a bunch of guests that, are very knowledgeable in whatever field that they cover, and I've just been rolling with it ever since.
When you look for the guests, do you look for people that agree or have similar views as you, or do you want some that who may think differently than you?
I like a mix of both. So like I had it was a flat earth episode, and I can't remember the guy's name. I just have brain fart. But whoever it was, he came on and talked. And now I'm not a flat earther. I think we live on a ball and we're floating through space and all that stuff. That's the mainstream. But I wanted to have someone on because I thought the theory was interesting. And so I messaged this guy, and he's considered like one of the biggest flat earth quote-unquote experts, I guess. And
was it David Weiss?
David Weiss, yep.
Yeah.
And he came on, and we had a good discussion for about an hour, and I just let him present his information, and I asked him a few questions that I was like, why is it this way? Like, for example, like, how come all the planets that you look at in the sky are circular, but you're saying that our Earth is flat or whatever. So I wasn't really like combative or anything to them, because my show is not really about debating. It's more them presenting their information. So yeah, I like a mix of both. Like, there's some people that I really agree with, some people I'm not so sure about, but I give them an opportunity to speak and tell their story and experience and research. So yeah, it's fun so far.
I can hear that when I listen to the episodes. And those of you that haven't listened to an episode yet, What If They're Wrong, when you start listening, you'll pick up on that. Yeah, you're right, it's not combative, because I won't say who, I won't say names, but there's been some guests on my show that, not on the air, but afterwards, they asked me like, hey, why'd you challenge me on that? It's not challenging you. It's, you know, especially when it's the ghost hunting and things like that, and paranormal investigators, it tends to get repetitive, because it's always, you know, we went to a place and we had REM pods, we saw a shadow, we saw this. Okay, great. But what is the point? I mean, what are you going to do with that information? There's a lot of people that go and get, you know, REM pods to light up, and you get recordings, you get a voice saying get out or whatever it is. But why? What's the point? What is the point of all this? So yeah, it's not combative. You're just you're trying to get the guests and in turn the listeners to open their minds a little bit more and think beyond just the typical, you know, ghost or question, or the typical question that you would have for the guest. So yeah, with the flat Earth one, yeah, I would ask that too. It's like, yeah, if the rest of the planets are, you know, they're round, we can see them, we can see that they're round, obviously from the sky. Why is ours the only one that you think is flat? So it's not combative. It's just questions that I'm sure your listeners, while they're listening to you, they're probably thinking those questions too. So if you're going to be a great talk show host, you've got to be able to ask the questions that you think your listeners would want to ask the guest if they were sitting there in front of them like you are. Now for you, Jeremiah, for you yourself, from when you started the show, because how long have you been doing the show, you said?
It's I started in November, I think. And then, so it's been like 6 months or so.
Yeah. From the episode that you've done from November to now, to the latest episode, have your views changed in any way from what the guests have told you?
I don't know if it's so much changed like one way or the other, but I think some of my previous thoughts are more solidified now. But I'm also open to other things, and I've learned a lot through this too. And I want to make it clear that like I'm by no means an expert. Like I know a lot, or I know a little about a lot, but I'm not like a expert at anything. So that's why I get the guests on, because they do a lot more research into whatever their topic is. So, but it's just, yeah, it helps me keep an open mind. And like I said, some things I don't believe in, but other things I'm don't. And even like, I'm not a flat earther, but he, after his explanations and stuff like that, it did make me kind of scratch my head and kind of be like, well, yeah, I guess it does kind of not make sense the way you put it. But, you know, I don't think my view on it has changed. It's just, you know, it is something that there are some things that people say and talk about that I'm like, yeah, it does make me scratch my head, or it does make me think differently, or maybe I just learned something that I didn't know. So I don't claim to be like a guru or an expert. It's not really like that. That's not what my show's really about. It's just me and hopefully my audience learning and keeping an open mind. And, you know, if you listen to a guest and you think they're bat crap crazy, you can just toss it out and wait for the next episode, but at least give it a chance, you know.
If anything, it's entertaining for the listener, I mean. But seriously, shows like yours, like mine, like Coast to Coast AM, you mentioned it a second ago, shows like that, it's it's like a song that came out not too long ago. There's the topics, whether you believe them or not, they're just really supposed to make you go, hmm. So if you make people do that, mission accomplished. So what made you want to start the podcast? Because there's one thing, you know, when people have an awakening or they start getting into conspiracy theories or prophecy or whatever you want, however you want to see them, it's one thing to do the research, but you not only did the research, you took it beyond that. You want to get on the microphone and talk about it, share your views and what you find with the world. So what made you want to do a podcast?
So like I said, I'm into all that fringe stuff, and I really was into like Coast to Coast AM. I listened to countless episodes that they had, or, you know, radio broadcasts, and then also got into other ones like Dark Matter Radio, I think was one, and a bunch of YouTube videos. And then I started seeing like censorship happening, and all the videos that I used to be able to watch on YouTube just like disappeared. And I was like, man, they're really censoring this stuff. And I was like, well, why? If it's crazy fringe stuff and, you know, they're just tinfoil hat wackos, why are they doing a concerted effort to erase it from the internet or like make it hard to find? And so I just was sitting one day and I'm like, I want to make a podcast that talks about this stuff, because it seemed like podcasts were the only place where I could find the information I was looking for. So I was like, why don't I just do my own? And then also listening to shows and YouTube videos and stuff, I always wanted to talk with the people who were on there and ask them questions, but I never could because it was just a show or a video I was listening to. So I was like, why don't I just reach out to these people and try to get them on so I can talk to them myself and ask them questions? So that's pretty much what spawned it. And now I've been able to talk to some people that I never thought in my life I'd be able to talk to, like Scott Allen Roberts is one. Later this month, I'll be talking with L.A. Marzulli. Mm-hmm. And I never thought I'd be able to talk with him, and just other people that, you know. And then I'm finding other people through podcasting that have a lot of crazy, not crazy, that's the wrong word, a lot of interesting stories to share and tell. And yeah, I'm just learning a lot and I'm having a blast doing it. And I say on my show all the time, if you want to reach out to me, talk to me, don't hesitate. I will answer every message that I get, as long as it's not like a troll or anything. But yeah, that's just what got me started. I wanted more answers, I wanted to be able to talk with people that I had questions for. So, and when I do my podcast, I try to ask things that I think other people would want to ask, like you said. And I think of, if I was sitting listening to it, what would I want to know? What would I want the guests to cover? So that's what I try to ask while I do these interviews that I do.
When you have L.A. Marzulli on, and I know you've had an episode on the Nephilim before, ask him, I don't know what you're going to talk to L.A. about, but ask him about the Nephilim. He will go on for hours. I've had him on the show. He's a good friend. He can go on for hours about the Nephilim.
Oh, yeah, we definitely will. My fiance is going to be my co-host for that one, because she read like all his books and she likes him too. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, he's fun. He's fun to talk to. You'll see when you have him on.
His passion. He's very passionate.
Yeah. Do you have a release schedule for the podcast, or how often do you release episodes?
I try to do it once a week, and I drop the new episodes on Monday morning at 6 a.m. Eastern.
Okay. And where's the best place where they can? I'm assuming wherever people listen to podcasts, but is there a certain place you'd rather have them go to listen to it?
Yeah, you can find it on any major podcast player. And it's been awesome to see the amount of people who listen in from like all around the globe. Like, I have people listening from countries I've never even heard of before. It's it's awesome to me. Like, I love seeing that. And I do this for the people listening as much as I do it for myself. So I just hope people can take something from it, or even just get entertained by it. Even if, like I said, they don't have to believe everything, but at least just listen to it and be entertained by it.
Well, you know, what's the good thing about that, especially from 2020 to the last 2.5 years we've been living through, the fact that you're getting listeners and interested listeners, not just listeners, interested listeners from all over the globe, just tells us that we're not the only ones. People, they know something is up, and okay, if this guy's going to present something, let me listen to it. It's not just, these guys are crazy, who cares? It shows you that people are waking up. They want to know. They want to know what the heck is going on out there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I've noticed definitely a lot more people. And there's people that I know in my personal life that listen to my show, and I never would have thought that they would be into this stuff. But they come up to me and they're like, man, that last episode was great. And it seems like they're getting better as you go on. And yeah, it's just very... Very fulfilling to me as a creator.
Very refreshing to me, actually, to hear, honestly, because, you know, being in California especially, it's like whatever the rest of the country's doing, we're always doing the opposite, and not always the best. They think it is, not always the best. So there's a little bit about Jeremiah, a little bit about the podcast. Now, let me take a little break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the topics that he covers. We're not going to do entire episodes. It's just going to be quick what Jeremiah thinks about them. And, well, you'll see. You'll see what that is. So first, as we always do, let me take you on a paranormal trip around the world. Here's what's happening. And then we'll come back and get into some of the weird stuff that's happening in the world.
Paranormal Perception 360 Degrees with Henry San Miguel.
Just a couple of things this week. First, even the British royals are seeing UFOs, or UAPs. During the Queen's Platinum Jubilee live TV coverage, viewers, as well as the entire royal family, were surprised to see an unidentified object streak across the sky as 9 Royal Air Force jets were flying over Buckingham Palace. I have a video of it on our Facebook page. You want to take a look? See what you make of it. Now, whatever the object was, many viewers saw it on TV, live on TV, and took to social media and said, what was that? And also, as I said, the royal families saw it because all of them, pretty much in unison, they looked up and followed the object as it flew past the palace. Again, video on our Facebook page. What do you see? After a 2-year break, the Bilderberg meeting took place last week in Washington, D.C. It's attended by the world's most powerful players from the worlds of industry, academia, finance, and of course, politics. They all get together under a strict cloak of secrecy to discuss pressing issues facing the planet. Among the subjects set to be explored by the group this year are geopolitical realignments, NATO challenges, disruption of the global financial system, and fragmentation of democratic societies. Other areas which will be discussed during the weekend are competition between the United States and China with regard to technology, disinformation, and post-pandemic health concerns. But we're all conspiracy theorists, huh? Also, understandably, earning a spot on the list are Russia and Ukraine. Now, all of this, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. All of this is from a press release issued by the Bilderberg Group. Again, but I'm a conspiracy theorist, huh? Let's just say, how about we buckle our seatbelts? It's gonna get bumpy.
Paranormal Perception 360. Paranormal Perception and Unearthing the Supernatural invite you to join them at Orange County Paracon. On the weekend of October 1st and 2nd, meet Henry, Hero, and Sean Klein, along with all of these paranormal experts. The Hollywood Good Witch, Patty Negri. Show host, author, and Queen Mary expert, Nicole Strickland. Hollywood stunt coordinator, investigator, and author Rick McCullum. Director of the Palmistry Institute of Los Angeles, Vernon Mahabal. Psychic medium, investigator, and author Jeff Dwyer. Show host and psychic medium Pete Orbea. And Allie and David Bender from Bender Family Paranormal. Author of Ghosts of Greystone Beverly Hills, Cleet Keith. Neurodivergent medium empath and author MG Stevens. And other surprise guests. You'll enjoy 2 days of paranormal speakers and spooky vendors. Single or two-day general admission as well as two-day VIP tickets are on sale now. All info and tickets can be found at ocparacon.com. We'll see you in October at OC Paracon. We now return you to your unscheduled awakening. This is Paranormal Perception. Continuing our conversation with Jeremiah, who is the host of the What If They're Wrong podcast. I have a link on the show description. If you haven't listened to it, you will want to subscribe so you don't miss any upcoming episodes. So like I said, we're going to get into a few of the topics that a couple weeks ago, Jeremiah did an episode called Conspiracy Mashup. And I really like the way he handled things. Like you said, he's not telling you that what he's saying is fact. He's just presenting these things out there like a normal conversation. It's like, hey, can you believe this is happening in our world, in our lifetime? So I figured, you know what? Let me have him on and have him talk, cover a couple of those topics. And I'm even going to throw in a couple that he didn't bring up. And this will give you more of an idea what the show is about and what Jeremiah is all about. So let's start with the biggest and most divisive event ever, really. That's, of course, COVID-19. I'm sure you've done some episodes about that. How do you see it, Jeremiah? How do you see not just the disease, but the reaction or overreaction, as I keep saying, to COVID-19?
I think I know it's a touchy subject, but I feel like the whole thing has been like manufactured, and I think there's videos from before this even happened talking about this type of event happening. And I believe, what's his name, Bill Gates, was there's videos of him talking about this happening like years before. And then also people find, you know, movies from the past that have the same storyline and stuff like that. So is that predictive programming? I don't know. But yeah, I think a lot of the whole event, like, it started off, oh, it came from a wet market in China or whatever. And then it was like, oh no, it leaked out of the lab. And then they were like, well, you're crazy if you believe that. But then fast forward a little bit and it was like, oh yeah, it probably leaked out of that lab. And then there's a whole thing about China and Russia, or no, Ukraine, where there's like a city, which is like China, but spelled differently. And they have like biochemical labs there and stuff. And, you know, there's a whole theories about that as well. And I just think the overreaction to the virus. And I think a lot of people were like questioning it from the jump, and they didn't expect that. I don't think that, like, you know, like the quote unquote anti-vax people and people that weren't following along with the narrative. And so, yeah, I think the whole thing was pretty much contrived to pretty much cripple the economy. I think it was sort of to take out, you know, mom and pop businesses, and because you saw so many go under during this time. And but yet all the big box stores continued to thrive. And yeah, I think that a lot of it was, you know, planned to happen this way. That's just my personal belief.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not asleep, you had to have questions during the lockdowns, especially. Why is it that, like you said, the mom and pop grocery store down the street, they had to close down for healthy reasons, but McDonald's is open, Lowe's is open, Target is, Walmart's are open, wide open. Those are okay, but you're telling me the small businesses, those can't open? The other thing also that I knew there was something up from the very beginning, like you said, what did it for me was the masking, because not wearing the mask, but it was, again, how dumb is the only way I can explain it, is that there's no science behind it. No, you go to the here in California, at least, you're wearing the mask, you go to the restaurant, you slide it up a little to order your food and quickly put it back down before you infect somebody. You go sit down, go ahead, take it off. Magically, this COVID virus knows not to infect you because you're eating. Really? I mean, really? How does that work?
Yeah, we used to make jokes about that too. It was like, how is it the smartest virus on the planet?
Like, yeah.
That it knows that, oh no, you can't go to the movie theater, but you can have 1,000 people crammed in Walmart shopping. Like, just nothing really made sense to me personally. And a lot of people I know, the same thing was like, these rules and stuff don't make any sense. Like,
well, yeah, so, I mean, and the biggest one, you know, we're all frightened. We don't know what's going on. Don't celebrate 4th of July. Don't celebrate graduations, father, none of that, we were told. But suddenly, in the name of equality, there's all these protests, if you want to call it that, everywhere. Here in downtown LA, it looked like a typical day in Disneyland back in 2015, 17, before all this. That's how many people were there. And yeah, I don't care if you're wearing the mask. Really? That's okay? But we can't gather because COVID? I mean, come on.
Yeah, and I think another thing with the masks, and I've heard someone else say this, so I can't take credit for it, but was the mask kind of a way to inadvertently keep people from, like, really talking? Because it was hard to hear people through the mask. It was mm-hmm. hard to see, like, facial expressions, and it kind of, like, isolated people. It made people feel isolated. And was it a way to try to keep people separated instead of being like, hey, this is all a sham? And I'm not trying to say, like, I'm not one of the people that says the virus isn't real or that people didn't die from it. Of course, it's yeah. real and people died from it. But, you know, where did this virus come from? Because it doesn't act like any other virus I've known in my life. And I'm 40 years old. Like, the fact that it affected people differently, like, some people lost taste and smell. Some people only lost smell. Some people had flu-like symptoms. Some people were down and out for, like, weeks. And it's just, and some people have, like, lingering COVID where it's, like, still hangs around, like, months after they got it. And it's like, it doesn't seem natural to me. Like, I 100% believe it was made in a lab and released.
Abso-freaking-lutely. I said it on the show. And again, I can't believe I still have to say it after all this time. That's not what Jeremiah and I are saying. We're not saying that the virus is... I caught it. My entire family caught it. I know it's real. But you're right. Exactly. In our own household, all four of us, it affected us differently. It wasn't the same symptoms. None of us lost taste or smell. None of us... It didn't happen to us. With my kids, it was just... For like a couple of days, they had a fever. They didn't want to do anything, and then they're back to normal again. My wife, the first day, she said she felt like she was hit by a truck. Everything was sore. I think she had a little bit of a fever, and then like a couple of days, 3 days later, she was much, much better. She was up and running around. Good thing, because they had to take care of me. It hit me the hardest. Never lost my smell. Never lost my the taste. Never had a fever. Had a little bit of fever, but not terrible. With me, it was extreme dehydration. And then I've always had a bad knee. It went right to there, bad back. It went right to that. But it was the dehydration that really got me. And no matter how many Gatorades or bottles of water that I drank, nothing helped me until the second time I went to the hospital and they filled me up with 2 IV bags. Then it finally got me back to normal. But yeah. And I said exactly what you just said, Jeremiah, that I'm not that old. I'm not 900 years old like Yoda or anything, but yeah, I've been on this planet almost half a century. I've had broken bones, I've had colds, flu, all kinds of chicken pox. I have never had a sickness or been as sick as I was during that time when I had COVID. So yeah, I'm with you. I am absolutely convinced this thing is not natural.
And I also think that it is, if it is designed, which I think it is, but if it is, I think that it is made to attack certain genetics. Mm-hmm. So I think it's all genetic based is how your symptoms end up being. And now this is just my personal theory, is like, that's why some people get certain symptoms and some people don't. I think it's all targeting certain genetics, and the people who have underlying illnesses, I think it's set to target those type of things. Call it, you know, a thinning of the herd, so to speak, or yeah, or anything like eugenics or whatever.
But getting rid of the weak, yeah.
Yeah. Like the old and the weak and the sick. And another thing that really struck me, especially in the beginning of the pandemic, was how come kids weren't getting sick? Because usually kids get everything and they pass it to their parents and stuff like that. But for some reason, this virus didn't affect children, or at least not as much as
not adults. Like adults. Yeah.
But and that kind of like made me scratch my head a little too. And then there was that whole thing, like when they did the first like real lockdowns, was like not just me, but like other people I know and other people I listen to, is like, does anybody know anybody who actually has this? Like, I'm talking in the beginning.
Yeah, that, no, I was saying that too.
And then it seemed like shortly after that, that's when I started seeing people get it. But like in the beginning, people were like, or the way the news was presenting it was like, oh, this is like going to be, you know, the black plague of America,
yeah,
or whatever.
The way the news presented it, you would walk out your door and you would drop dead just from breathing in the air.
So, yeah, I was waiting to see the people like just drop dead in the street, or like, you know, a bunch of people at work just not come back or whatever. But that never happened. It was like people went out, but they came back, and just didn't seem as bad as the media was presenting it. And yeah, like I said, I'm not trying to diminish anyone who lost somebody from it, or, you know, anyone who has passed away or deal with the long-term COVID or whatever. But like, was all this lockdown stuff really necessary? I don't think so. And I think it was kind of planned. And I think we're still in that planning rollout of the great reset that you hear people talk about. And you have like big business moguls and finance guys that talk about this great reset that's coming, and life will be different and the way things are done will be different. And I think this was all put in place to bring this about. And, you know, if it was just one person saying like, oh, this great reset, I'd be like, hey, it's just some crazy guy talking. But I mean, you can watch countless news broadcasts and, you know, financial gurus and government officials all talking about this great reset. So what is that? And, people are just trying to live their life, so they don't really have the time to like look into that or research that. But, you know, there's something going on there.
Yeah, I've said it on the show many times. If you have no idea what Jeremiah is talking about, go to the World Economic Forum website. They started this. They're the ones that it's their plan, the Great Reset. They explain it on there. They use nice language, but really look into it. You'll see what's coming. They don't hide it at all. I just mentioned in the report a second ago, the Bilderberg Group, their meeting, they met last weekend. And it's never anything good that comes out of those meetings. We know that. It's not a conspiracy. It's proven fact at this point. So brace yourself. There's more things coming. Let me change topics.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. But you even have Joe Biden that came up and said, we're heading towards a new world order. And I have a clip of that on my podcast in the new one of the news clips I did.
That's not what he said. He said, bah, 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 bah.
Well, yeah.
Somebody had
after
to translate
his mumbling.
It. Yeah. No, but yeah.
But
no,
yeah, he
right.
did. He said it.
Yeah. Like I said, they're not hiding it anymore at all. It's like literally right there, right on our faces. But I was going to say to start wrapping up, let me change topics. I've said on the air, I've done interviews with like Ellie Marzulli is one that talked about UAPs, UFOs also. But what do you think? What do you think? I don't know if you've done an episode on this. Maybe I haven't listened to it yet. But what do you think is the actual agenda, if there's one at all, behind all the sudden releasing of UFO and admitting that, yeah, we've known about them all along? What do you think is behind all this releasing of UFO info all of a sudden?
So I'm more in the L.A. Marzulli camp, and I know this rubs some UFO and abduction researchers, I kind of get some hate for this, but I think that the aliens that we know, like the Greys and all, I think they are interdimensional beings, and I think that they are doing some type of eugenics program. Because a lot of the abductions, and I've read a lot about them, and I've interviewed a couple ladies who have been abducted, and just tons of stories that I've heard and listened to, and books that I've read. There's a heavy focus on eugenics and creating a hybrid race, and they tell the abductees that they are creating life for when this time period is done, so to speak, that we're destroying the earth and our humanity as we know it is towards the end of its cycle. And these hybrids are supposed to be the new whatever, the new creation, so to speak. But I think that I'm in the L.A. Marzulli camp as far as, like, I think that they're nefarious. I don't think they're really trying to help us. I think that they are trying to create a hybrid race to take over the planet once we are gone. And how that will happen, I don't know. But it just makes sense to me that – and they are failing, because I think – the Bible, and I'm not talking religion here, so don't think I'm just some crazy religious person, but the Bible talks about the fallen ones, the fallen angels, and or the fallen ones. And I think that they might be some form of or revenant of them. Now, I think the Greys themselves are more, they're not 100% biological. I think they're more like cyborg or robotic. But then there's other beings besides the Greys that might be the actual sentient life. And from doing the research, you see there's usually like three Grey aliens that perform the medial tasks of like getting the patient, the abductees undressed and doing the basic procedures. And then you have a taller Grey type of alien or a mantis looking being that performs like the more intense exams and tests. So I think in a long-winded way, I think that they are trying to create a hybrid race to take over the planet at some point, whether with our destruction or they're going to come and take over or whatever. But I think that they're trying to create this hybrid race and they are failing at it, because it's been what, like 70, 80 years since Roswell, or maybe even longer. And they're still doing the same exact tests, like the creating hybrid babies. And a lot of these abductees say that the babies look like they're sick or dying, or that, and then the aliens tell the abductee that they need to console the child or hold the child, and they need to hold it close to their body or let it, you know, wean off of their breast or something like that. And so I think they're trying to create this hybrid race, but they're not successful at it yet, because I think they have been banished from whatever realm they come from. And they don't have the power on our realm to do what they want to do. And that's a long-winded version of what I believe. Yeah. And like I said, a lot of people throw hate at that because a lot of people believe they're from outer space and they, you know, are space brothers and stuff. But just my personal belief from reading all these abduction stories and interviewing people and stuff like that, that's what I take from it.
Yeah, you're playing detective, basically, and that's what you come up with. So there's a lot more topics I can bring up, honestly. I just wanted to bring up a few, but there's a little bit of taste for all of you listening. There's a little bit of a taste what you're going to hear on the What If They're Wrong podcast. Again, I have a link to it in the show description. Let them know, you mentioned the website right there, I said it, but let them know social media, everywhere they can follow everything that you do.
Yeah, so you can find the What If They're Wrong podcast on all the major podcast platforms. I also have a website, www.whatifpod.com. On there, I throw up, not every guest wants their picture up, but pictures of guests and me, and there's also a contact form on the website. So if you want to reach out to me, you can message me on the contact form. And if you want to be a guest, or if you just want to talk or whatever, or send me information, I'm open to anything. And, you know, as long as it's not like hate mail, I'll just delete hate mail. But yeah, I like to give everyone an opportunity to present their research and their experiences, and I try to do it in the most respectful way. And like I said, my show's not a debate. It's just a platform. And at the end of the day, it's up to you to decide what you want to do. I'm also on Instagram, What If They're Wrong. So if you're on Instagram, I usually post. I haven't been doing it lately because I've been so busy, but I like to, on a Friday or Saturday, post like a minute or a minute and a half clip of the upcoming Monday episode so that you can get a little taste of what's coming out on Monday. But yeah, that's pretty much everywhere that you can find me.
Yeah. And, like always, I have a link to everything in the show description. Just click on either Jeremiah's name or What If They're Wrong, either one of those, click on him and it'll take you to everything he just mentioned. So thanks again for coming on, and I wish you continued success, and you are welcome back here anytime. Because like I said, we were talking for a while off the air before we started recording. Thank you, and I, we're going to be very good friends in the coming years.
Yeah, definitely. Whenever you want me on, just shoot me a message. I'm game to do it. I think it's important that people are able to speak what they want, within reason, of course. I mean, we don't need Nazis on online spewing hate or anything, but I think the censorship is bad, and I think people should be able to voice their concerns and opinions without being fact-checked, quote-unquote. And yeah, that's just my philosophy.
Yeah, not a good one. And honestly, you know, because of the generation that we come from, it's like a very well-known, very beloved movie from our time. It was called Back to the Future. We want to go back to that time where when you and I, Jeremiah, when you and I were kids, and even though we may not have been political because we were just kids, we were just playing, riding our bikes, you know, being out late at night till the streetlights came out because we could back then. But it was, I remember hearing people, this is during the Reagan years, people were, they may have been lifelong Democrats, but if your neighbor voted for Reagan or vice versa, if they voted for a Democrat, they would laugh at each other. And okay, fine, life goes on. You would be together at the 4th of July barbecue. Not like today where there's hate. I got to ban you on my social media. I can't talk to you. Families don't talk to each other. We need to get away from that. And, you know, shows like yours, shows like mine, and other shows that are out there, that's all we're trying to do. We're not trying to divide you anymore. we're trying to live this saying that we used to have. It used to mean something. United we stand, divided we fall. So there you go. That's what these two shows hopefully will do. So again, thanks a lot, Jeremiah, and everybody else. Have a great weekend. I will come back next week. Like I said, I'm gonna do a regular show next week, and then I'm gonna take a little break. Break from shows, and you'll see a lot of OC Paracon promotional stuff out there. And again, if you haven't gotten your tickets and you're thinking about going, get them. If you want to be a vendor out there, definitely get them this weekend, because the spots are about to sell out. We'll be full of vendors. If you want to sponsor OC Paracon, definitely a great place to have your business, especially if it's something spooky, because it's the first weekend in Halloween. People are thinking spooky. Do it. You know, go to ocparacon.com. Tickets, sponsorships, vendor, everything is on there. Info on the guest. It's all on there, ocparacon.com. Now, like I said at the top, a joint event with Paranormal Perception, obviously, and also my guys here in Sean Clan, Unearthing the Supernatural. So, everybody have a great weekend. Like I said, stay safe and come on back next week for a whole new perception, and that of the paranormal
was Paranormal Perception.
The views and opinions heard on Paranormal Perception are those of the guests and host of the show. Factual statements are accompanied by backing data, articles or other corroborating materials, either stated on the show or included in the show description. Any views or opinions expressed on the show are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company or individual.
New episodes every Friday. Visit ParanormalPerception.show to listen. At ParaPerception1 on Twitter. At ParanormalPerception2 on Instagram. Paranormal Perception with Henry San Miguel. Paranormal Perception was produced by 22 Creations Multimedia, LLC.